Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Hey, Bob. Oh, I'm driving down to Kitty Hawk to do another hang gliding job down here, and I might miss half the call, but I'm going to try my best to hear all of it.
Nice. Well, enjoy the hang gliding. That sounds great.
I just came back from Canada and had an awesome time on a hang gliding trip. The course is doing me wonders. I love it. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, enjoy flying. What a beautiful thing to do. That's awesome.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Okay, cool.
My earphones. You can't hear them.
All right. Okay. So Nick, how are you doing? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm doing good, mate, yeah. Who, are we on? Are we live right now?
Yeah, we're live, yeah, we're totally live. And,
yeah, doing amazing. This this moon energy, full moon energy is really kicking in. The modern world is in massive upheaval, and I'm feeling incredible, powerful energies just pulsing, coming from the depths of my soul right now. It's such a powerful time, such a powerful time.
Yeah, one of the questions we had today, actually, let's just kick it off with that, is Wendy was asking, what do we mean when we say these are amazing and powerful times? So what do you reckon, bro? What's your answer to that? Because we say amazing and powerful times fairly often. What do we mean by that?
Well, I get, well, from my perspective, when I identify myself as an individual, I'm talking about myself as a soul. I'm talking about myself as a soul, as an individuated point of consciousness planted in the soil of space and time. And we were allowed to experience and create just about anything we want, anything we can imagine, for a certain period of time, a cycle. And that cycle might last for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, or it might last for a few days or weeks or months, or even hours. There's all kinds of cycles and rhythms going on in this incredible life that we experience, we all share. And right now, it appears that, possibly thousands of years, and if you, you take into consideration the possibility of the Mayan perspective on things and many indigenous cultures and yogic philosophies and what have you, it can be, many, many thousands of years of converging to a point of absolute reconciliation whereby all of the karma that individuated point of consciousness, that soul, all of the karma that soul has generated through its thoughts and words and actions, through the vibrations that it's given off, all of that karma is now having to be reconciled in the very last moments of this cycle, of this epoch. And I just feel in it. I'm a feeling being, and I just feel the intensity and the magnitude of the times. And let alone, I do a lot less research and cruising of the internet and keeping up with the details of how current affairs are unfolding. I do far less of that now than I was doing weeks and months and years ago. But I feel the intensity and the magnitude of the times much, much, much more so right now. And today, sitting here on this, coming into this full moon, in this particular moment in the cycle, I can say things are extraordinarily intense. And it just magnifies the, it amplifies the criticalness, the necessity to make the right choices in every moment. make the optimal choices in every moment, make the highest choices in every moment. The amplification is reaching, you know, very, very, very intense levels. So if you choose, if I choose an other than optimal choice, then I really get hammered for that. And if I choose, you know, an optimal choice, then I can catch a wave. But the criticalness, I like the wave scenario. The, you know, I've been surfing for quite a few years now, and it, the waves is a good analogy. The surfer, the soul surfer, Michael and I often refer to ourselves as soul surfers, and superheroes are definitely soul surfers. And the soul isn't some, even though it might, you know, metaphysically and philosophically be an unchanging point in its own experience, it has the feeling experience of being in something, being in an ocean that is changing all the time, and there's huge waves of karmic possibility coming through that ocean, and that soul can surf those waves forward into its destiny. And choosing the high lines, being able to ride the high lines, having the ability to actually catch those waves and not be stuck and bogged down and hung up in the drag of your own negativity, of your own stuckness from your own judgments and your own denial, gives you the freedom to actually move with the opportunity of the times. And yeah, I'm just feeling that opportunity, and I feel the enormity of the possibilities of what's going on. But at the same time, I, Nick Good, the personality, the ego, the man, is kind of compressed, absolutely compressed, and really, really, really rooted in a life experience that doesn't let him go very far. And obliges him to do a lot of things every single day, and you know, having to do those things or honor his obligations and whatnot, and to within that achieve self mastery. But the pressure that's on at the moment is, for me personally, just feels absolutely wonderfully phenomenal. Not a negative, but whew, man, intense. Intense. So I'm aspiring to be on my highest game at the moment.
Wonderful. Yeah, these are intense times. Very, very intense. Even the solar flares recently from the sun is blasting everyone, and we are definitely just going into very different ways. So, Taylor, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Aloha.
Yay. So, we got quite a few questions today, and one I thought would be good for you to answer, Taylor, is someone is asking about when they're doing meditation. They start to sway and move around, and you know, they're just in that sort of swaying motion. What have you got to say about that? He's wondering what's going on with it.
Yes.
Because I've seen you doing that, so that's why I'm putting you forward on this particular occasion.
Perfect.
Sweet. I was wanting her to answer
this
question.
Yeah. We may want to mute. It sounds like someone needs to maybe mute their phone there.
There we go.
I also just wanted to kind of address the last question with when they may from another possible perspective, which is, you know, these are, when she's asking, these are amazing, powerful times. You know, essentially, the big shift that's occurring, to simplify it in a really easy format, is we're moving from a very dense mental, more masculine-based reality into a more open heart space, love-based living, which is really where we came from to begin with. And we then incarnated into these denser forms, and we've been navigating around using our mind in these denser ways of being. And now there's an opportunity to really lift the veil of all of that and move back into from where we came. And that's an exciting opportunity. And it requires a lot of physical, so to speak, transformations and evolutions. And because it's happening so fast, that can be pretty darn intense. But the good news is if you can hold that vision that where we are heading is just the best place ever, and a place where we can really use our superhero, supernatural, birthright given ways of being, of love and being in the flow and following our hearts and synchronicities, then it helps give you a lot more freedom with, well, what the heck's happening? Everything seems to be crumbling and fall apart. And in truth, until things fall apart, they can't be made new again. And so it helps just, I find, have a perspective on all of this, you know, whether it's the stock market crashing or, you know, losing your job or, you know, whatever, a relationship, you know, you find out your boyfriend's sleeping with your best friend. You know, whatever it might be is all a perfect scenario for us to move into this new dimension of light and love. And those are amazing times, amazing, powerful times. I just wanted to say that.
Hey, Taylor.
Yes.
I think we should say something there, you know, like, where you just, like, flipped over there, you know, like, in 1 or 2 seconds. For some individuals, that can be their whole life, you know, like, the most challenging experience in their whole life and all of their emotional. I just give you a little story. Just this week, I have a young girl that I've been coaching for the last year or so. She's 17, coming on 18 years old, and she's at the World Championships showing her horse in Oklahoma, you know, like the quarter horses where they make them run and stop immediately and turn left very, very fast, turn right, and then turn around. You know, that kind of horse show?
Yeah.
And so her horse and her weren't even in with a hope of being in the World Championships. And we've been working together for quite some time, and her mum and dad have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on, you know, supporting her and whatnot. And she got to the World Champ. She won the qualifying thing against all odds. And she got there, and her horse was injured just before the finals. And so she couldn't even compete. And that was her whole world compressed into that moment. And so I think a lot of souls are experiencing, in a way, you know, when we talk about these things like relationship, or their father's dying, or something happens, or they lose all their money, on whatever it is, their dreams, ego's dreams are going, popping like popcorn all over the place. And it's the ego's whole world. So the intensity of it is astronomical, and the leverage of the karmic lesson that has to be integrated is also astronomical. So the pressure that we're feeling, even in the minutest of details in our little lives, is really off the charts. And so the necessity to practice the basics, which is what we concentrate on all the time in superhero training. You know, we've had, we've heard a bit of talk this week about, you know, how, you know, people might be thinking this is too mental. There's too much mind in the superhero training. Well, you need to have, if you haven't got control of your mind, you haven't got a cat in hell's chance of dealing with what's going on at the moment, let alone what's going to be coming up in the next few months and years as this cycle winds into its exciting crescendo. You need to have phenomenal ability to master your own mind, which is the first stepping stone into being able to deal with your emotions and your physical body and be able to discern and make the choices that are going to lead you into the experience that is possible for you. And I just wanted to say that, you know, just to give a live example of how things are loaded up, because we can, you know, we can skip over these things and just, you know, like talk about them in a few seconds. But for some of you and for some of us, all of that, all of your whole soul's life intensity can be focused on certain focal points, and they're popping and disappearing out of this world. And it is a very, 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 very challenging time. But therein lies the initiation, and therein lies the challenge, and therein lies the opportunity. And I love, Tony, you're such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure you are, Brother Michael. But I love you, Taylor, and I'm so inspired by you, how you just deal with all your challenges in such a masterful way.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Nick. I think the same of you. And, yeah, I love what Nick just said. The beauty of the times now, these amazing times, is to see ourselves not as our ego. And that's where all this massive amounts of potential drama and upset can live and breed and multiply. So, but where the heart, if we can just move into the place of the heart, there's simply nothing there but peace, being at peace. And that's really what we're all really up to in the superhero training program. So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful time to be together with this group of people, so that when you are completely losing it, and you can just come to any number of resources and tools here to see, like, whoa, okay, this isn't about me. This is a much bigger wave that is occurring, and that will give you a great deal of peace and freedom, I suspect.
That's beautiful. So I'd love to just invite Brother Michael here, and you after him, Taylor, because Michael's a great inspiration for me about being out of the ego and being in soul consciousness. Let's just talk a bit about what the ego is and what the ego is not, Mike, and how do we shift out of it when we're under pressure, mate, when we haven't got any money to pay the bills, when we're in upheaval in our relationships, when we are faced with a massive, massive, massive workload, when we have obligations and responsibilities in this physical material world, and we just don't feel maybe that we can cope with it. Where do we go, mate? How do we deal with it? What is the difference between soul consciousness and egocentric reactive behavior?
Yeah, this is an extremely important thing. You know, I was just sitting in the garden before the call having something to eat, and I was looking at the coconut trees and just enjoying the sunshine and the breeze. And, you know, it just occurred to me how important it is to enjoy the small things in life, you know. And I'm saying this just before I go into any more detail on your question, because just just to clarify, you know, what you were saying, what Taylor was saying about these dreams, these goals that people have just disappearing and being taken away from them and, you know, being popped out, you know, they're gone. That the ego is interested in the future. It's interested in having something better in the future. Once I've finished this thing, then I'll be better off. Once I've, you know, won the gold medal, then I can be happy. Once I've finished this project, then I can relax. You know, once I've talked to this person, sorted this thing out, then everything's going to be all right. You know, this endless long list, and the ego is on this mission to try and tick everything off, and then sooner or later, hopefully at the end of all these long list of boxes, there's going to be some level of peace. And this is an ongoing thing, and you might have noticed, everyone listening to this, that there's always something else. Even if you tick off all these boxes, there's another 10 boxes. You tick one off and there's another 3. And you can keep going. And I realized years back that this was never going to end. This is just the way life is. It's this constant flow of things. And if I was going to live my life in a genuinely spiritual and graceful way, then I had to have a different relationship to life itself, and especially to achieving goals, because they never end. It's an ongoing, constant process of manifestation that we're all in. We are constant creators. And so when it comes to, you know, dealing with all these different challenges, whether it's money, whether it's deadlines, whether it's health problems, whether it's relationship dramas, whatever it is, how to, you know, differentiate between being in the ego and being free from it. What I've personally found, what I practice consistently, is when I catch myself being in one of those drama moments where everything's like, oh my God, how am I going to handle this? There's all this stuff, freaking out a little bit. The thing that I do, and I, you know, try and do this all the time so that it doesn't even happen. I don't get upset. If I do this all the time, I just don't get upset anyway. But the thing is that when we basically take those breaths, breathing is super important. Breathe and just relax and go above. Imagine looking down on the body from a distance and imagine seeing this person. In this case, I see Brother Michael, this person, Michael, from a distance. That is happening to him. He has got to deal with all these deadlines. He has got to pay these bills. He is experiencing this physical pain. He is having this drama with this other person. And what I find is as soon as I start to see it as him over there rather than me, this fundamental shift of him versus me, as soon as I start seeing it as him, then I start to find the whole thing quite humorous, actually, genuinely funny. And I can't help myself just chuckling and giggling to myself about the whole thing that just a moment ago was tremendously painful. And ultimately, like what I'm saying might sound, you know, easy to say, but obviously harder to apply. But this practice that we've been going on and on about is just the beginning of the training, and we're going to continue to talk about this and share insights on this. This practice is absolutely critical, and I think it's the only real solid practice we're going to have, ultimately.
It's what we call soul consciousness. Isn't that right, Michael?
That's right. Become aware that you are that light, and you are watching the person. The whole underpinnings of the ego. What is it that keeps the ego intact? How come most people are stuck in the ego? Because they haven't realized that the person that they consider themselves to be is fictional. Brother Michael, as much as we might think he's a real character, is a fictional character. There's no reality to this person who you're listening to. there's the soul. I am a soul speaking to you through this body, through this telephone, across the ocean. And
yeah.
That is the real deal. And this whole thing, all this responsibility, all this stuff, is fictional. And we're going to have to realize that we're living in a fictional movie. The whole thing is fictional. The whole thing is just like a play, literally like a big theater. And we need to start seeing it as a theater, as a play, as a ridiculous cartoon. Because that's basically what we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
And this is what we need to have as superheroes. If you want to maintain your state of consciousness and not totally go mad as things get more intense, see it as a play, see it as a cartoon, ridiculous cartoon drama, no matter what it is.
Well said, bro. Just before I invite Taylor to just share her perspective on this, I'd just like to invite us all just to take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths, because like Mike said, it's easier said than done, and Michael's very good at it, and I'm quite good at it, because we've done hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours of practice of this detachment into soul consciousness. So I'd just love to invite everyone to do three breaths where we're breathing that perspective of not being the body, but being far removed from the body and looking down on the body from a shining point of light. Soft, gentle, deep breath. And I just wanted to say, add to that, that the emotional attachment that we have to our drama, our reactive, the ego is emotionally attached all the time. Reacting emotionally to whatever is going on, judging emotionally, denying emotionally whatever is or is not. And that's what keeps us stuck in the matrix. And that's what hurts. And the whole po'ono attitude with the soul conscious perspective, with the soul conscious awareness, the whole po'ono attitude of I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, that cuts the cords that bind and sets us free. So we can relax into that breath and just float in that heavenly peace. It reminds me of Psalm 23. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. Great archetypal story for superheroes, the story of King David. King David, the author of that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie. That means that there's a higher guidance that's coming from the boy, the innocent human, the young, youthful, innocent human that superheroes are. Acknowledging the presence of the higher guidance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not possible for me to lack anything. He maketh me down to lie. He leadeth me beside the pastures, the green pastures, and the still waters. That's the heart space that Taylor's talking about. I'd love to invite Taylor in a moment to just expand a little bit on that, about the difference between ego consciousness and heart space. He maketh me down to lie and leadeth me beside still waters. That's what happens when you become soul conscious. You lay down and you feel still. The still waters, it's peace. And the psalm goes on to tell the story. It's a warrior's tale. Thou preparest a table before me in the midst of mine enemies. It's a warrior's song because, like Arjuna, we live on the battlefield. This is our time.
when we say these are powerful, intense, amazing times, because it is the battle of Kurukshetra right now. It is the moment in the soul's experience. And there's no choice about fighting or not fighting. We are born, warriors are born to fight. That's what we do. That means we have the ability to choose where we fly our arrows of thought, and we choose who drives our chariot while we're doing it. And we want God driving the chariot, and we want the purest arrows of thought flying in the battle. And the objective is to win the battle. That's what warriors do. To eradicate evil from our psyche, from the world. So thou preparest a table before me in the midst of mine enemies. So that means that heavenly peace that we tap into in soul consciousness prepares a table of the choicest morsels of food and sustenance and nourishment, even in the midst of your enemies. That means all your negative thoughts, all your fears, anguish, anger, lust, greed, jealousy, all of that, the seven deadly sins, the whole thing, all of those thoughts that come in, that soul consciousness just prepares such a beautiful space.
Absolutely.
Like an enchanted garden.
Yes, and I think just to briefly add to what you were saying earlier about these dreams falling apart, what's the solution? What does it mean for us listening to this and in our lives? Because things are crazy and we don't know what's going to happen, is we need to have our primary goal as a state of consciousness.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I've got many, many goals, lots of projects and, you know, and helping people and helping change the world. I'm, you know, totally on a mission. But my main goal, ultimately, is to experience bliss and to experience soul consciousness and to purify the negativity out of my being, to clean everything out of myself. That's my primary goal. Because I know that's the one goal that's going to be constant and it's going to last with me no matter what happens. And all the other stuff, you know, manifesting projects and abundance and cool stuff and having various physical things, they all need to be prioritized underneath that. As soon as those take over, I'm going to definitely suffer for that, you know. But if my main goal is bliss, which it is, then nothing to worry about. Because ultimately, just experiencing bliss and profound peace is in itself the greatest reward I could ever have anyway.
Absolutely.
So I just feel it's important for everyone listening to this to really, like, get your priorities right and put those states of being as the forefront of just feeling good, feeling good, feeling good, increasing your level of consciousness, purifying the nasty things that no longer serve, letting them go, and really just having that experience of life and enjoying the moment, because that's something that is constant and can't be taken away from you.
That's right. And that is a moment-to-moment thing you're talking about there, Mike.
Absolutely.
So let's bring Taylor in here. Taylor, what's the difference between the heart space and the ego? From the ego perspective.
I think Taylor may be unable to speak or something at this point.
No, here I am. Yeah, I'm working this phone out over here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Taylor, did you hear everything that Mike just said?
I'm right there, moment by moment, ever present.
Wonderful.
Yes, and I would say the difference is that bliss is who we are. Bliss is where we came from. Bliss is where we'll go back to, and it is the heart space. The heart space is our direct freeway connection cord to the bigger part of who we are, which is our soul. It's the soul connection, the heart space of love, of wonder. It's where kids live. It's where people that are on the edge of passing, when they look back over their life, they probably aren't real concerned about how much money they made or what they got done on their to-do list. And those are useful sort of ranges to see that all life really is about is being in wonder and bliss. It's what has you have entree into the kingdom of heaven is being childlike, being in wonder. Whenever you're in that state of being in wonder, like Michael was sharing about watching coconut palm trees sway in the sun and the breeze, you are in heaven. You are in your soul, in the bigger part of who you are. And when you are into a more contracted space of being a human being, moving yourself around, being busy, doing this, doing that, and if you're definitely in an upset state or in any of the many manifestations of fear, chances are quite likely you're in your ego or mind space, because it's the space of your heart, that whole range of emotions that comprises what fear is, it does not exist. So it's really pretty simple. I mean, I've heard someone say there's really only two emotions, love or fear. And, you know, Nick and I, we're in the process right now of supporting a really special couple here in the creation and full moon wedding ceremony this weekend. And there's a lot of details, you know, a lot of details to see to and this and that and the other thing. And the other day, it dawned on me really to just look at them and say, look, there's all these things, you know, about your wedding. There's all these lists. There's all this. And there are all these things that are happening on your wedding day. But really, what really matters is you just enjoy this process. You enjoy the wedding ceremony, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it goes, even if it rains, if you forget all your vows, like the whole thing just crashes, that you really just enjoy it, because this is it. You're not going to get married again. This is it. This is it. Have it be the best wedding ever. And really, that's what, you know, we got one life. You know, here we are. And we've chosen to come into the planet at a time when we are moving as a whole consciousness, as a whole living organism toward a whole new way of living. And there is going to be a lot of moving and shaking, but this is it. This is our lives, and we can either have it be blissful and all of it, even the things that are like, well, how on earth do I have this be blissful? And look for the wonder in it and the magnificence in it, or we don't. But it's so key to really see it as this is it. This is what we got. And somehow the decision then between living in fear and love seems an easier one.
Beautiful. You know, I love what Mike was saying, you know, about the stage, about just being in that state of consciousness, and that's the priority goal. And it's a moment to moment thing. And nothing else matters besides that. And you know, we keep going back to this thing about the basics. And if we did superhero training, if superhero training was going for another 1,000 years, we would not expand it into a whole bunch of other stuff. We'd still be talking about the same thing, about being soul conscious, about the breath, about the choice to connect with that higher state of being and those feelings that come from that, or lose it and being that reactive our reactive state. And it's just the basics that count more than anything. And in these times that we're in, you know, this wedding this Saturday that Taylor and I are facilitating is a fabulous analogy, a metaphor for what's going on in the world. And I was really reflecting, because we've been putting quite a few hours in this week into making sure that this wedding is successful. And the people that we're marrying are not on this superhero training call. They're not on this program. But it just struck me, it's a beautiful analogy, because these two people are getting married. They are married. They want to get married, and they asked me to marry them. And I told Taylor, and Taylor said, well, she wants to marry them as well. So Taylor and I are marrying them. Now, it's become increasingly obvious over the weeks and months that these two people who are getting married, it's their business, it's their relationship, it's all about those two, have no clue whatsoever at all about what getting married means, about what a wedding is, zero. And so this has become more and more obvious as each day goes by. And so Taylor and I, mostly Taylor, have had to, you know, get involved, roll our sleeves up, and get into the all the details and making sure that this wedding is a success. And it's an analogy, in a way, for the people in the world, the souls in the world, because the souls that are ready for being married, which superheroes definitely are, to this incredible... this incredible presence that is our spiritual source, we have no idea whatsoever about what's entailed. We have no idea about life, and it's extremely humbling. And so here we are today in this last minute rush to get all of these things on this list of things that we need for this wedding to get done before Saturday, and today is Thursday, running around, fetching this, fetching that, doing this, doing that, over and over and over and over. And it's a good analogy of the last moments, the last months, the last years before the souls that are ready to be truly married are going to be married in this great, powerful moment that we're in. So I'm really, really glad we're in this, and I'm so glad that Brother Michael reminds us of the fundamental basics over and over and over again.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, keep it simple, keep it simple. There's certain things that are never going to go away, and they'll be with us forever, you know, and let's just remember those things. And you know, everything else is always changing, so just relax about it. You know, I think trying to do so many things, trying to do impossible stuff all the time is going against the grain of the universe. You know, we've got to keep it simple and focus on the most important things and enjoy. You know, I think it's a keynote there, Brother Nicholas, about being able to actually enjoy life. Being able to enjoy anything is actually a fine art. Even if someone's sitting around with the finest wines and the finest cheeses and the finest whatevers, you know, anyone who's reckons they're into any fine things, finest furniture, the finest food, the finest whatever, however you want to describe the finer things in life, you know, depending on your perspective. But even being able to enjoy the beach, being able to enjoy people's company, being able to enjoy anything is an art, and I really feel that we all need to learn that art of just being able to enjoy life as
yeah.
far, you know.
Yeah, I've been hanging out with Howard Wills a lot this week. I've been building gardens for Howard Wills and putting some gardens in, And he's for anyone who doesn't know who Howard Wills is, he's probably the most accomplished living healer in the world, who's manifested extraordinarily miraculous manifestations for people in terms of their health and their wellness, disabled people being able to walk, blind people being able to see, deaf people being able to hear, dead dogs absolutely obliterated and mutilated, getting up and running away. You know, these are just some of the things that Howard's done over the last 30 years. He's got a whole catalogue of extraordinary achievements. And he does it all through the power of prayer. He does it all through the power of forgiveness. And so Howard's going to be featured on the Superhero Training a little later in the program. But just hanging out with him a little bit this week and just, you know, sharing with him and just listening to him about how he holds his mindset. He never, ever, ever, he says, lets his mindset waver. He doesn't doubt himself. He knows who he is. And he doesn't let other people's energy fields or emotional situations affect him. He doesn't let the external appearance of reality affect him. He just holds his mindset in a very, very, very powerful way. Now, admittedly, he's had extreme experiences that have, defined his ability to do that. But it's a great insight and helpful, guideline for us as aspiring superheroes to hold our minds in that set, in just set in that mystery, the certainty, the knowingness of who we are, and the great love and appreciation and surrender that goes with soul consciousness, and the emanation, the extension of that love into the world through forgiveness, through Ho'oponopono. This is the absolute heart and soul of the superhero training, which is why we focus on it over and over and over and over. It's not a mental thing. If you think it's mental, anyone who's listening to this, if anyone who's listening at all thinks it's mental conversation here, then you just need to practice it a little more and more and experience a miraculous, wonderful, uplifting, superb, amazing ramifications of it. And then you know it really grounds into your worldly experience and fulfills the ego in ways that it's almost impossible to imagine.
Wonderful. Well, let's just take a few questions because we've got quite a little questions here. So, got a nice question here from Sebastian, who's in Auckland, and he's saying, while walking and standing in a queue, waiting for the bus, sitting in a meeting, I try to breathe in the way I meditate. Breathe in, and then he says, I am that I am. Breathe out, feel love and gratitude. Do you see any reasons why it might not be good to do that in a situation where I'm not 100% concentrated on the meditation? Love and thanks, blessings, happiness to the family. Sebastian.
I'd like to answer that real quick and let you guys blaze on it.
Sure.
There's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, there's definitely no situation where that is not a good thing to do. It doesn't matter even if you're 1% concentrating on it. The thing is, it's all about the emotional content of your concentration. Brother Michael and I and Taylor are extremely busy people. We have telephones going, emails going, all kinds of logistics, practical things, lots and lots of things to do. I personally have very, 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 very few seconds in my day when I can just chill out and relax. My life is extremely full. And so for me to be 100% focused on that attitude and that awareness that you're talking about is an absolute impossibility. If I'm at the top of a ladder, balancing on a ladder, trying to cut down some trees with a load of bees in it, or, you know, lifting heavy things, carrying really heavy logs up the hill, building things, or taking myriad phone calls and dealing with people's stuff, whatever it is, the hundreds of things I have to do in a day, it's not possible for me to focus 100% on what you're talking about. But it doesn't necessitate 100%. The attitude and the awareness that you're embracing when you're in that state of being requires less than 1% of your focus. As long as that 1% of your focus is correctly emotionally charged. And what I would say on that is that the emotional charge of the in-breath is extreme warrior, badass, super hardcore certainty, which is all your raw energy, all your masculine energy. And I happen to identify with the warrior archetype extremely. That's just the way my soul has been forged. And so that's when I put all my badass MS energy that I will kill mercilessly with a big smile on my face into the in-breath with the certainty that I am that I am. And that's a very dynamic application of your intensity. And then the out-breath is the absolute surrender and trust into the feminine certainty and just total relaxation and dying. That's how I like to breathe it. And as long as I'm doing that, I know that whatever percentage of my focus is concentrated on that particular awareness, attitude, configuration, everything's cool. But if I waver on the certainty and I don't surrender wholly, then I'm just setting myself up for doubts and fears and wishy-washy bullshit. And these are not the times to be doing that. These are the times to be absolutely forging ourselves to be totally rock solid for the greater challenges that are coming over the next weeks and months and years. These are the times to really develop that strength. So in-breath, masculine intensity, burning, warrior, red energy focus, where you take all your bad-ass MF, super hardcore, everything you've got into that in-breath, I am that I am, and then let it go on the exhalation. Total surrender, and the exhalation is the most of the breath. It's way longer than the in-breath, but if you haven't got the anchor point, if you don't put your burning intensity into the in-breath, you've got nothing on the out-breath. You just become like a little leaf that's going to get blown around way too yin. You have to be anchored in with your steel. You need your backbone on your breathing, and that's your in-breath certainty, and that sets you up for the surrender, which is 99% of it anyway. Trust, surrender, let God do the work. Relax into the amazing grace, trust, allow yourself to be with the flow. But the whole ocean is getting so turbulent right now, but if you don't have that steel inside you, and it's way beyond steel, it sets burning intensity on the in-breath, you got nothing. So that's my take on it.
Wonderful. Yeah, the bottom line is, for everyone, is, you know, meditation, higher consciousness is something that we really can be practicing constantly. You know, my personal aim is to be doing meditation all day long, all the time, you know, because it's just a state. What is the purpose of any kind of meditation? Is to get into a different state, a higher state of being. So, you know, if your aim is to stay in the highest state you can constantly and keep that breath going, keep that consciousness, the awareness, you know, that's the best thing ever, because we haven't got hours and hours and hours just to sit around. And I bet you, if you do have hours and hours and hours and hours spare, you're going to waste it doing stupid things anyway, because the ego, you know, just takes that time and sucks it all up. So it's actually good to be busy and to be having this consciousness and breathing, rather than, you know, trying to spend 6 hours a day doing meditation. Because I haven't seen anyone who really sits in meditation for 6 hours a day, or, you know, really has any success. It needs to become a lifestyle, a living, breathing way of being. So not to say, you obviously, not to say don't stop for meditation, that's definitely good, but, you know, have the attitude it's a constant practice. So just going back to this question, Taylor, about swaying and nodding in meditation, Wendy's question, what have you got to say about that? When people are sitting for formal meditation and the body starts moving and nodding, I often talk to people and they have all sorts of strange experiences of the body moving around in meditation. So what have you got to say about that, Taylor?
Yes. Well, what I have to say about that is I personally find sitting still to be extremely, for the most part, uncomfortable and unnatural for myself. And it feels to me that as people become more their true nature and more move into the less restricted places and kind of just move into the natural flow, whether it's with their food or the way they live or the way they think, they then become more of their true nature, which is to move. And when one's meditating, there's actually an opportunity to open fully to our true nature. It could be said that's all meditation is connecting to our true nature. And and so this idea of moving, to me, really becomes quite natural when I'm in a meditative state. It's almost like my body just seems to go into this spiral sort of figure eight configurations, which feel like I'm moving consistent with the rhythms of nature, whether they're the rhythms in my DNA, my body, my soul, you know, I don't know, you know, the whole convergence of everything, you know, my opening really to receive my soul. But what I've noticed over the years, when I tried to sit really still and all organized it neatly in meditation, I found it just so painful, and it seemed like actually it was harder for me to release and open to receive. And it was when, through a natural attunement, I finally allowed myself to just do what my body wanted to do naturally while I was in these more contemplative meditative spaces, that it was even easier for me to connect. So, you know, that may be what you're experiencing by what's happening, but I would say go with it. You know, if it feels good and it allows you to connect in different ways, my sense is it's totally natural. You know, there's a whole sect of meditative people, the whirling dervishes who whirl around, and that's their whole meditation. And so the idea of sitting, having to sit and be still for meditating is over. Those days are over. If there ever was a day, I don't know. And you know, that really goes hand in hand with what Nick and Michael were just saying, which was having your whole life and everything that you're doing be a meditation. And so, you know, that's really the ultimate way to see it, is that your life is a meditation, and sometimes you're sitting and sometimes you're moving and et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't need to look any particular way.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, just allow yourself to go with it. Some people can sit for some time. Other people can't, but it doesn't matter. It's the consciousness that you bring to what you're doing and the intention you have that really matters in the end, you know. It's not about... I remember sitting with some people once and they were like testing who would move first. I remember sitting with this person and she was... And like, you know, we were sitting there in silence and I happened to like, you know, stretch my back a little bit, move around a bit, and she was stoked that she managed to stay totally still. She beat me in her head, not that we actually had talked about this. So So there's a whole school of thought, you know, about who can sit straight, you know, upright with a stiff back for the longest. Somehow that's some level of success. But that's not anything to do with it, really. It's just the consciousness and the experience. And if you're going to be sitting for formal meditation, I highly recommend you work out why you're doing that and what you want to experience. For my morning meditation, I have a piece of paper, like a card, that I put on the floor that says, what experience do you want to have today? What special experience do you want to have? So that I remind myself and anyone who comes to the class, why are we sitting here? What experience do you want? Do you want to experience God's love? Do you want to experience profound bliss? Do you want to experience, you know, forgiveness? Do you want to experience, you know, deep peace? What is it that you want to experience? You know, be really clear about that, and then go into the meditation with that consciousness and that clarity and that focus, and you'll have a very rich and nourishing time there in those moments.
Well, so far,
yeah.
Are these worth saying as well that these are extremely cathartic times as well, and that if anyone's practicing what we're promoting here, they're going to be tapping into some serious juice, and it's you know, like the detoxification analogy is something that I constantly go back to. If you've been on a toxic nutritional program, been eating burgers and chips for X number of years, and you start glugging down gallons of wheatgrass juice, you're going to have a real detox reaction. And it's the same with this. The what we're encouraging individuals to practice on this superhero training is going to cause, undoubtedly, a detoxification of the psyche. And that is, the psyche is part of the physical body as well. The mind is in the body. I remember when I was watching my father die, watching him on his deathbed, the catharsis that he was going through, the convulsions that his body was experiencing, was propelling him upwards and out of the bed. They were so violent all of the time. So much so that we put a big chair against the side of his bed. And the other side of his bed was against the wall. And the only way he could pry himself out of the bed was, you know, over the chair. And until we put the dead, he was throwing himself out of his bed and smashing his head on the radiator and busting himself up real bad. And we had 3 or 4 days of this, and it was a shocking, eye-opening experience for me, having never watched anyone die before, and just a real education into the emotional content that's stored inside the physical body. And the psyche is absolutely in the physical body. The soul's karma is being played out through the physical body. So as soon as we start through our spiritual practices tapping into that juice, we're imbibing the most potent, detoxifying, purifying stuff that we can.
Yeah.
And this is going to have radical consequences. And of course you're going to move. And if you can breathe your way through that, well, congratulations, well done. But there's going to come a moment when you can't breathe your way through that, and it's going to be a lot healthier for you to move and express in some sort of cathartic way. And that's all about you as an individual, and that's why, you know, what Mike's saying is take your meditation into everything you do. Try and stay close to that meditative state, and let everything you do be an extension of that.
Definitely. So we've got another wonderful question here. from Brian. Brian says, I'm wondering about your perspective on being around negative people. Do you avoid them or attempt to use the experience? These situations feel extremely exhausting. So that's a very good question. I have found myself personally around mainly positive people for the last 15 years, quite frankly. I hardly ever come across negative people. It's kind of odd, actually, in a way, that it's like that. And I think what happens, I mean, of course, there's two things here. One is that I personally believe that the more your vibrations increase, the more you just attract positive people. So that I think your amount of negative people will reduce. But also, you know, using the Ho'oponopono, using the various methods that we've, you know, been talking about, you gradually protect your energy so that even if you are around supposedly negative people, they're not stressing you out. You know, you're not allowing them to suck you down, you know? I think that's one of the key differences is that we basically create an aura around us where we can hold our power and see them. And another thing I've personally found when I am in situations that look a little bit shady is to realize that everyone is my, you know, brothers and sisters, and that if they're acting in dysfunctional ways, it's because they themselves are wounded, and they actually are calling out for love, really, behind all that. And it's my responsibility to be loving and compassionate and not get affected by the negativity, but be some sort of influence. And as well as that, to not hang around in those situations any longer than necessary, you know, because some people, they just stay stuck in these things for years and years and years when there's no real need for it, you know. So if you have a choice, you know, choose a situation that brings you the greatest joy. Choose to be with people who, you know, you connect with deeply. And when you are in those other situations, hold your power and have that, you know, benevolent attitude, knowing that no one's, you know, like fundamentally evil or bad. They're all actually good. They're just themselves wounded.
Yeah.
That's how I deal with it myself.
And that's like...
Go for it, bro. Maybe lost Rolinick there. Taylor, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes. I would say both. I would use it, and I would... see, I can't remember the exact way he formatted the question, but...
Or you want to get away from it?
You know, I love what you said in the last bit there, Michael, which it is, you know, in many ways it's just a reflection of ourselves, and you know, my view is that there really is no such thing as negative energy, quote unquote. It's all energy, and there's always, and it's all usable, and I don't know that you need to protect yourself from really anything. I think, you know, my sense is that it's really about, you know, love conquers all, sort of, and prevails in above all else. And if you are a being of love and are surrounded by pockets or places that don't feel like love, then there is certainly an opportunity to transmute it and really have compassion and gratitude for it. And I feel the more compassion and gratitude we can offer, the easier it is for that energy to shift and transform and move.
Yeah.
And that is no doubt the mission of a superhero is to not live in these little, you know, homes where there's no negativity about and it's all pristine and pure and wonderful, but rather we're finding ourselves in the world and being able to see it and transform it and have it all be love. And that's the ultimate task.
Yeah. And another thing that's fascinating that I've found is that there are people who, other people have said to me, oh, he's like this and he always does this terrible thing and she's always like this and she always does this nasty stuff. And I know those same people and my relationship with them is that they're wonderful. They don't do anything disrespectful to me at all. Everything is cool between me and them. But that same person, somebody else, is having all sorts of trouble with. So we have to realize what is our impact, what is our responsibility in relationship with other people. Because if we see them as bad and negative, they turn out to kind of reflect that back to us. So I think it's very important to use this experience when you find yourself in negative situations to, you know, purify that attitude within yourself.
And that really goes for anything, whether it's a person, whether it's a world situation, whether it's the government, whether it's your neighbor. You know, it really is our opportunity as of pioneering this new earth to forge forward with that level of invincibility to be able to shift any circumstance in an instant with a smile, with a greeting of endearment, with an acknowledgement. You know, I find when I'm around people that could be perceived as negative, you know, it's a lot like what you're saying, Michael. There's just a real need for love. And to be able, I find I usually just, by just acknowledging people and really praising them for who they are and what's so special and unique about them, It's as if they just come to life. It's like you water them with their soul, and they are suddenly reconnected. And all disharmony really usually just is a disconnection of ourself from our greater self. And sometimes it's just as simple as being able to remind people of who they are by speaking it out loud. And it's remarkable.
It's amazing. And I've found myself, you know, like, with people who I thought were negative, who were doing things I didn't like. And then, you know, but I didn't really know them. They're just sort of doing stuff. Like the yard guys, they seem to be doing silly things in the garden and cutting down herbs that they shouldn't be and stuff like that. But then I got to know them, gave them some drinks, gave them some of my elixirs. And now we got a good relationship and everything's cool. And I think they're really sweet, you know. And there's love there, there's good communication, that, you know, we're supporting each other in different ways. And, you know, the relationship has become, like, serviceable and wonderful, whereas previously there was a level of negativity and antagonism going on. And I've seen that again and again and again. And if we're willing just to, you know, extend ourselves a little bit and get to know people and just, you know, try and see them as what they are and hold that vision, then normally it turns out that these people are they're good and they've become our friends, you know? So, you know, a lot of the time these situations is an opportunity to make friends, actually. But there are times, of course, also where their people are just like, really are very, very, you know, stuck in their personal positionalities and, you know, there's a time where we just have to walk away, frankly, because we don't want to be fighting uphill struggles. But overall, I would say, you know, look at ourselves, shift our own perspective, and give them the benefit of the doubt, and go in with an open heart, and really, you know, enjoy these things. Because I've personally been amazed at the sort of transformations that I've experienced in various different ways. Wonderful. We've got a couple questions more. This is going a little bit over what we expected, but we love sharing with you guys. We've got a question from Maniza, hopefully I explained your name correctly. She's saying that I've been doing really well on the training so far. I had a moment today that was a little scary. I'm a health coach and I've been stocking up on superfood, super herb supplements for about 6 months. Last weekend my daughter scropped and bottled some iodine and then again today dumping the entire thing on the ground. The first time I didn't react, but the second time I was quite upset, thinking why. I believe it's because the looming debt and economic crisis of scarcity. I would love some support around dealing with this issue. Well, how are you dealing with this issue? So, and I'll just ask her the other question here is, I currently live in Stamford's CT. My husband and I are thinking of moving to a place where we have more food and health freedoms, land, and we can purchase water to drink from nearby sources. I'd love to get some ideas about the place you think, where you think qualifies. So, you know, I think this question basically is about how to deal with the fact that there's, you know, looming disasters and potential huge problems with our just basic needs, food and shelter and drinking water that's safe. And yeah, and this will ultimately become a bit of a problem. So, to some degree, and in different situations, Taylor, what do you think about this situation? This is a very interesting question.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. It's one that I get from a lot of people, and seems to be building in its popularity
mm-hmm.
as the world is shifting in the ways it is. And there is definitely a big draw toward falling into the fear factor around this. And, oh dear, what am I going to do? I need water, I need food, I need shelter, I need stockpile, I need, you know, all those sorts of things that one would want to have in place were everything coming to a crashing halt and, you know, no power, no money, no, everything. It does serve to put things in perspective. So the first thing I would say is just that. It's one way to shift out of the fear sort of model into a place of really, well, let's just look at this. What is important in life? And what is important to me and my family? And it sounds like clean air, water, delicious food and healthy food and a nice place to live are. And if what this economic crisis in the world, earth changes are bringing to the forefront is what's important to you and mobilizing you to make that a priority to have those things, well, then that's certainly a gift because one could go on in some other reality and not have those things. And so oftentimes it's these sort of earth shifts can really put in perspective whether it's, you know, hurricanes where people suddenly lose all their home and everything that mattered to them, but they still have their life and their family or whatever it is. So one suggestion is to see it as an opportunity and definitely to not get caught up in the fear factor. And this is probably what you were experiencing when your daughter broke the iodine, was you were just present to the level of frenetic fear that you're doing a lot of these actions, stockpiling this, doing that, out of that mode. And my suggestion is do what you do, but do it from a place that empowers you, that you're enjoying yourself, that they are already priorities for you anyways, and you're using the opportunity of the collapse of a lot of structures that aren't sustainable and didn't make any sense anyhow to move toward those that do and welcome it as such. And you'll do what you do, you'll get done what you get done, and if you can move about it in a way that isn't frantic or urgent. Or there's no question that the sense of urgency is larger right now in mass consciousness, and that can certainly drive a lot of these feelings of fear and concern. But in truth, there's always been urgency has always been there for us having the best lives ever. And now there's a real opportunity to organize yourself in such a way that that's what you're doing, and begin communicating in that way and helping shift others. You know, that's what I do. When people call me like, oh dear, what should I do? Where should I stockpile? And, you know, I'm just really concerned. Where should I go? Where should I live? I support them in shifting into a place of what do they want? Not should, but what do they want to do? Where do they want to live? If they could live anywhere, what would that look like? And yeah. This really supports people in being in a much higher harmonized state to make the kind of choices that really they would make anyways, no doubt, if they really put life in the proper perspective. And that's what this time can serve to do for all of us.
Yes, great answer, Taylor. And I would just also add to that, you know, the law of attraction, the law of vibration is a law that is constant, even in times of destruction. And temporary challenges, your level of consciousness and your intentions and what is important to you is always going to come round anyway, you know, even if things go strange for a period. And I also like what Taylor was saying about help others, you know, like if this is something that you feel is very important, which it, you know, is, then think beyond yourself and think about others as well, you know. And how you can maybe support your community, because the more you're thinking, like if we only think for ourselves, the chances are it's not going to work out very well, because, you know, in a situation where there isn't any food and you're the only one who has it, you're going to probably end up with various angry mobs, you know, like breaking things and smashing into places, which has happened in London recently. Like just the other day, I was watching about this London riots. People taking over mainstream London in gangs, smashing up shops and taking various things that they felt they wanted to have. So obviously I'm not trying to put any fear into anyone here, but if you think, how can I help myself, my community, my family, just in general, and you know, set things up to be sustainable as possible, then you know, you're going to be more supported back by the community. You're going to have much more joy involved, because it's a good thing to do anyway, you know. I personally feel that we should always look at things in terms of what is a good thing to do regardless of whether or not there's going to be a massive destruction happening tomorrow, or whether things are going to stay the same as they are for another 100 years. What's the most beautiful way to move ahead, to move forward, holding that vision? And you might come up with, you know, some huge farms that you create or some wonderful things. So if you're on this training, you know, we want to help you manifest amazing things in the world. You know, that's the whole point of being on this training. So if that's something important to you that you'd like to really pursue, then you can really help so many people and be an inspiration to others. And then all your own needs, of course, are going to be met in the... as a consequence of you being of service. Wonderful. Hopefully that was useful. We've got a couple, just two more quick questions. Someone's asking, Nancy's asking, you know, she's at the point where we're doing the Sunpop and the inner self-image meditation, asking, does that replace the breath, or do you do that as well? Basically, the program, just to recap here, in the morning, just do any meditation that we've recommended that you're inspired to do. The reason we give you a few options is because we know that you're going to be inspired more towards one thing than another. The main thing is what gives you the best experience, whatever helps you raise your vibrations, get more focus, master your mind, whatever is like moving you forward and you feel it, go for that. But make sure you do that practice every morning. So, for example, if you can do the breath meditation and one of the other ones and you make the time for that, then that's great. But if that's a bit much for you because of your schedule, then just choose the one that's the most powerful. Because what we want you to do is practice, 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 and really master these things and make them your own so that you own them, you become that, you've cracked it. You know, I don't listen to any guided meditations, but I did when I started off because it was new to me, a lot of this stuff. But my aim has always been to master it so that I have the powers inside myself. So basically use what we've got until you don't need it anymore. And choose the stuff that you personally find most powerful. And the last question is from Ashley from Columbus, Ohio. And the question is, how do I balance a peaceful non-attachment to the outcome of a given action with a resolute determination to reach my specific goal? This is a great question. How can I hold both non-attachment and tenacity in the same space? That is such a good question. Taylor, I want to open you up to you first of all.
Hold on a minute. I didn't hear the question, Michael. There was a lawnmower. I had the mute out.
All right. I'll read it again. How do I balance peaceful non-attachment to outcomes of a given action with the resolute determination to reach my specific goal? Can I hold both non-attachment and tenacity in the same space?
Well, that's certainly an excellent question.
Excellent question. I love questions like that. That's like the fact that Ashley asked this question is a really good sign of a level of depth and clarity, and I really, really value that. So thank you for asking that question. What a wonderful question.
Certainly is. You could do a whole course on this.
Oh, easily. Yeah. This is very deep.
Maybe we should. The answer to the question is absolutely yes. You can have a non-attachment to the outcome while holding tenacity at the same time. And I practice this regularly, as it really, my sense is that it's the ultimate law of manifesting, is to have a vision, you know, whatever that vision is, and to really see it as already done. And not necessarily be attached to how it gets done or the outcomes or when or any of the specifics. And that's not to say that you just don't do any of those things, and maybe you don't. But what really is key is holding it that it will be. And that's really, to me, when I have a vision, I already see it through to the end. I already see it as happening. And I continue to trust and hold that as the vision, versus having a vision for something starting, not necessarily knowing how it will end, not necessarily seeing an ending until it does, or, you know, possibly these other ways of being. And the key really is what you're just saying here, is both of those, to have non-attachment and the this shall be, or it's already done at the same time, is just the ultimate formula for success in manifesting, right?
Yeah, that's the secret. I mean, this is very deep stuff here. And, you know, ultimately, if you think about why you're manifesting anything and what's the point of manifesting things and why are you even bothering in the first place, is ultimately it's because it's of some kind of service. You know, it's some value to yourself and to the world in general. You know, it's a divine gift. It's a wonderful thing. And so if if what you're focusing on, your specific goal is a pure desire, and this is super important that we distinguish here, because God helps with pure desires. You know, there's divine guidance with purity. Whereas if it's an, you know, I like these terms, pure and impure, you know, they may have some stigma, but if it's coming from the heart, you know, coming from a genuine pure place within your soul, then there's so much pure energy to help that, support that happening, that you can really let go in many ways, because it's a divine thing. On the other hand, if it's a ego-based, you know, greedy, lustful, you know, attached, wanting, needing kind of thing that is, you know, not good for you, not good for anyone else, then you have to draw upon negative energies and all these forces of, you know, the vices, for the best, you know, use of a better word, those lower energies. You need to use those to manifest those things. So the bottom line is, if it's a pure, good, genuinely wonderful thing that your goal is, so I'm sure it is, then you can kind of rest assured that it's going to happen if you can see and feel it, because you're going to get support from many, many, many places that are wonderful. And ultimately, if it's the best ever, then leave it in the hands of the universe to take care of most of the details for you, because if it's supposed to happen and it's going to be good for everyone, then great, you know, it's going to happen. So you can basically let it go. And in the letting it go, you're putting it in the hands of much more powerful forces than your little ego. And, you know, there's so many things off the radar that we can't see, that we just literally don't know they exist. So if we try and control things, you know, it's within a very limited frame. But when you just let it go and say, you know, this is pure, I'm holding this space, I know this is going to help loads of people, you know, this is coming from the heart, then, you know, if it's genuinely pure, you will have a level of non-attachment to it, because you recognize that it's not coming from your ego, it's not for you, it's a divine gift for everyone. And so if it's supposed to happen, it will. If it's not supposed to happen for whatever reason, and something else is supposed to happen instead that's going to be more beneficial, then that's great, because it's good that the other thing happened instead. So if it's genuinely, genuinely pure and good and coming from the heart, then you can just relax about it, you know. I think this is something that a lot of people don't talk about, but it's very important. You know, where is your intention? And if it is pure, then magic's going to happen, and you're going to be taken care of.
Count on it. You can count on it. Magic will happen.
Yeah. You just hold the vision, and you know, one of the things I love to say is, whatever is in the highest good of all, I'm surrendered to that. Whatever is in the highest good of all, I'm surrendered to that. You know, I'm surrendered, because it doesn't matter. I don't know what's the best. How is my little ego and my little mind know what's the best for everyone and everything and the highest good of everyone? I don't know, honestly. My brain is not capable of knowing all those sort of details. But I can surrender to whatever is the highest good and be fine with that. And if it happens to be something slightly different, or a different color, or a slight variant of some idea I had, fair enough, that's great. It's going to be in the highest good, and that's the only thing that matters anyway, really.
Yeah, and it really is a fascinating process to watch what happens from those spaces, to just watch divine intervention at play. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's the greatest adventure there is. It's the greatest joy to watch how, when I can step out of the way but still hold steady and very clear intention for something to manifest, but have zero attachment to how it does, just that it does, it's a fantastic, it's like the best movie ever. Like, you couldn't even write, if you sat down to try to write such a good book as how something got from you know, the beginning to the end. You wouldn't even be able to come up with it. It's so fantastic. It's so fantastic and fabulous of a story that gets told in those big spaces of manifesting.
Yeah, it's a wonder. And we love it. You know, it's just, it's so entertaining seeing how these things play themselves out, you know, and it might be a different time frame than you expected. It may be quicker, longer, who knows what it is, but it's just a miracle and it's really humorous to see the twists and turns. You know, I find it extremely fascinating and, bewildering at times to just witness all these things going on. So yeah, and the main thing is to relax, 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 and allow. That's the secret key. Wonderful. Well, good. We look forward to sharing more with you guys. Just wanted to share, you know, deep love and appreciation for everyone who's listening to this, because you are superheroes. You are a very elite group of individuals. And it's a joy for us to, you know, share with you and help you manifest your wonderful visions, because the whole point of this training is that you become a leader in this new paradigm and you go out and do wonderful things in the world. And we're absolutely 100% behind you. And we completely believe that you can do absolutely anything that is in your deep heart and soul. And it's our joy to see that manifest. So, yay. Stoked. Keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. We're going to be doing more and more of these sessions. We want to do more and more personal connection with you guys to really find out what you're doing, what you want to achieve. You know, the whole point of this, like I said, is for you to manifest whatever is your highest mission. So know that it can be done. Know that it has already happened. And you're just, you know, watching it unfold in glorious ways as these days, weeks, and months go past. All right. So, Taylor, any last thoughts for all of these marvelous, wonderful beings?
Onward and upward. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
Yay. We love you guys. Thank you so much for all your wonderful efforts and applying this stuff and really making it happen. You're really doing massive service in the world. Recognize your own value. You know, I'd love you to take away today, just give yourself a big hug, pat on the back. Recognize your value. Recognize your value. Recognize what a gem, what a diamond you are. And every single thing you're doing is really necessary, and people who you don't even know are benefiting from all the work and changes you're making on yourself. So it's a huge thing that you're doing. We look forward to talking to you soon, and enjoy the next sessions wherever you are in the training, and we'll look forward to talking to you live in a couple of weeks. Aloha.
Aloha.